I'm getting awake.
He's waking up.
No, we need bugs.
No, you don't. Just shut up and listen.
You're so nice, Ollie.
What?
You're so nice.
I was thinking.
About what?
Ooh, heart.
I was sitting out on the porch last night. That's why I sat on the porch all night. And I was thinking about ugly, creepy, crawly things. Things that bite you and hurt your body. Like Jan. And snakes and scorpions and brown recluse spiders and
children.
No. Things that hurt you, that can do damage to you.
Wasps.
Well, wasps aren't bad.
Wasps.
No, but I'm talking about things that really are deadly.
Sewing needles.
Cobras.
Okay, now wait a minute. Let's get something right here. I don't need your help in this area.
We're just trying to understand.
Keep creatures.
Creepy, crawly, creepy.
Related. Kind of reword it to where we have meaningful contact.
I was thinking about all these things that do harm to us. And all of the things that do harm to your bodies, that kill you, and that really badly hurt you, are fundamentally hidden. And I was thinking about what would happen if God had designed the world so that it was killer sparrows. So that sparrows attacked you.
I live next door to Gene. I'm going to live next door to Gene.
And I was thinking about what would happen if grass was, you know, if Bermuda and stuff and all and the leaves and everything that's around that we take for granted and look at and appreciate, what would happen if it was that which did you harm?
Moved to New York.
Are you going to let us know when you stop stalling for time?
I'm not stalling for time. Shut up. And it's in the wisdom of God, it's the things that hurt you that are hidden. And it's true wherever you go in the world. The things that can really hurt you from nature, in terms of little things that poison you and bite you and kill you, except for if you get attacked by a tiger or something, but they're not going to attack you normally. But it's not the commonplace. I mean, what would happen? What would life be like if it was God could have just as easily designed it that way. But it's the hidden things that do you harm. And it's the same in the spirit. It's the same in us, in the soul power. It's not the obvious things. It's the hidden things that do you harm. And that's why it's so imperative that we must learn to prophesy, that because we expose all of that to the light. And the whole process of, it's so natural, it's so endemic to the beast to think a thought. And if your judgment at that moment in time says that thought isn't nice, and you know, think about it. Then you hide the thought. And that thing that's hidden then will poison you. And some of you do it so naturally that you know no other way of living. And therefore your whole being, you're from the spiritual standpoint, you're a walking vial of poison.
If somebody gets into that unawares, they get poison.
Right. And mostly it's the people that appear nicest that are the ones that are the hidden vials of poison. It's the ones that try, and because of their pillars, have tried to be nice all their life. And who the real danger lies. And because in truth that stuff is leaven of the worst kind, then remember one of the punishments for leaven is death at an early age. If you retain leaven when you're within your system. Because that, those things which, if exposed to the light, if have no power, hidden, poison your whole system. And you end up as a walking vial of poison. Now, we don't want to do that anymore. There's no, I mean, being nice isn't part of the package. You know, I'm always kidding about being such a bastard. Well, I used to be able to be just as nice as you think you can be until I became a believer. You know, I used to be a politician, people's campaign manager. I ran for office. My whole being was as smooth as anybody you could ever meet. But inside was vile, terrible poisoning. Now I let it out, and it has no power. I mean, if you've seen anything from being a part of this body and seeing anything of the work of the Spirit, if you know the one fundamental point that you are not your own, then stop judging your own thoughts. Let them out. You know, even, you know, we were talking today about the process of opening the dam, if you remember, is part of the, it's the Hebrew word which is part of the name of Jesus. The name of Christ in the Hebrew is Yeshua HaMashiach. And the word that's part of the word for Jesus in the Hebrew is Yesh. And the word Yesh means the breaking of the dam that all will flow out. But if somebody doesn't respond in the way you think that you should, that they should have responded when you have opened yourself and exposed something, then you, if, I mean, if you've really yeshed, open it up, let it out, you don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about it. If you've let it out as unto men, then somebody's response to it is going to affect you. And therefore you are walking, searching for the glory of men. And you're walking about as a man pleaser. That's why judgment must first begin at the house of God. Now, we could talk about this kind of stuff to the church. They would have no, what the world calls the church in the world, they would have no idea what we're talking about. Because their whole process is, okay, everybody now, turn to your left and tell them what a wonderful person they are. Okay, now everybody turn around and greet the person behind you. Tell them that God loves them. They don't have any idea what the hell they're talking about. They're repeating cliches. And so therefore, from childhood, you've been taught to be nice. But can you see how incredibly limited your definition of nice is? Therefore, you've never known the law. Therefore, you think you can get by with running around establishing your own rightness by being nice. I'm not giving you license to be an evil person. I'm giving you license to know who you belong to. And stop this game playing that the Gentiles play. Yeah. I'm going to read a couple of things. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. How do you, anybody receive the grace of God in vain? If you think, the bottom line in receiving the grace of God in vain is if you think you need to help. This will scare the stuff out of some of you, because now you're walking in fear of being exposed. If I tell you that you have to let everything out, then you have no place to hide. And it'll cause massive conflicts deep within your system. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Do you know what succored means? What?
Drawn.
It means helped, but much more than helped. It means he's taken over. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's not some funky little scripture that people repeat half of on what they call the Roman road on the way to salvation. That's the moment that you walk in, mathematically speaking. You walk in a moment which is always the eternal now. But once you cover yourself for any reason, you have left the eternal now, and you've covered yourself by taking thought. So you have left, and immediately you're no longer now. You're living in the past because you're second-guessing the spontaneity of prophesying. And you do it oh so righteously. Oh, I couldn't say that. That'd hurt their feelings. You don't give a flip about their feelings. You're trying to protect your ass. Okay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do any of you feel like I've read your mind lately? Good. But you have to see that you'll never know this. You'll never know what this means unless you know the terror of God. Because without the terror of God, the moment you're confronted with the stimuli, which is the impulse inside, then you will automatically second-guess yourself. Automatically. And there goes another drop of poison into the vial. And pretty soon, the Hebrew letter to Hebrews calls it the root of bitterness. And that root keeps growing and growing and growing. And it pretty soon, my God, it cost you. Nobody here gives a flip whether or not you're nice or not. If anybody here cares whether you're nice, then they got a whole lot to learn about what God stuff is about. Anybody can have what the world calls love. I mean, that's an easy thing to fake. We war not against flesh and blood. Therefore, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know that cliche that all of you heard me say, self-respect, that secure feeling that no one is yet as suspicious. Well, that cover has been blown. So you don't have to let that part of the deal to continue to control you. You have been bought with a price. You are not your own. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, but see, the only way you can do this because you get killed. This is the reason you'll get killed. You get killed in the world, you get killed, because when you start prophesying, when you start just yeshing, letting out whatever is there, then there's sneaky things begins to happen. You become in truth sanctified, separated. Pretty soon you lose your jobs, maybe. Pretty soon your parents think you're in a cult. Pretty soon you become a sign and a wonder to everybody around you. But guess what happens when you're publicly identified with it from an external source? If you don't have this, then you'll be destroyed. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles is the word which means subtleties. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're not talking about, this assumes that your high place has at least been identified. But what we are wrestling against is the high place wickedness of everyone on the face of the earth. And that's why they all will kill you and think they're doing God holy service. That's why you shall be hated of all men. Because you are a mortal enemy to the high place identity. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. That's the first time I've heard that meaning of spiritual wickedness in high places. We've been talking about high places for 6 months, but it's the first time I heard spiritual wickedness of the high place.
Okay. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Some of you don't have any armor on. Some of you have one or two pieces of it. You got your shoulder pads are protecting your yarek. So every time you get hit, you get your yarek pinched. You don't have any helmets on. So you get
beat about the head.
You get beat about the head.
Too many games are that, I know.
All right.
Or your helmet has holes.
Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having all, having done all, to stand. So I have to stand.
What's the evil day? It's got to be something like the last day.
The evil day is the day rightly exposed. It's like the judgment seat. It's like, this is what it, we're starting to understand truly what it means to redeem the time, for the days are evil.
Is it since the cross? Well,
yeah, but it's more when you rightly see, then you're in it. Then you see that the world is on fire. You see with everything we've talked about. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Never, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What's the breastplate of righteousness?
What are loins of truth?
Huh? Loins of truth?
Well, I mean, you're girding up your loins with truth.
Well, let's go on. Let's get the whole thing. The breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All that means is that simply a description from Isaiah about what it means to put on Jesus Christ and make no provision to fulfill for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. We're not talking about sex stuff. We're talking about that, but we're talking about everything. You make no provision to fulfill the desires of the flesh. And then the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay? The high priest, we'll see that this is a picture we just read about the high priest's outfit and all of its meaning, from the helmet, the mitre, to the forehead plate, all the way down. But guess what? The high priest didn't have any shoes on. He had all his great stuff on, gold and jewels, and but he was barefooted.
And having your feet shod. Bare.
But the kicker, the takeaway from what I've said tonight so far is, now is the day. Now is the time. Every word you speak is as the oracles of God. There's no part of you that's your own. Not your thoughts, not your words, not your deeds. Whatsoever you do, you're doing as unto the Lord. Therefore, what you are, a vessel of holiness unto the Lord. It doesn't matter what it appears to you or what it appears to anyone else. Because your yeshing, your honesty, your being, whatever it is, may be the instrument that brings that person to repentance. It's not up to you to judge it. If you had to judge anything of God, you would judge it wrong. If you were standing at the cross, if you were a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, you would have been the same as Peter and says, no, you can't be crucified. Because you don't know what it is that is required next, in the next split second. And the fact that you prophesy, the fact that you open, the fact that you yesh, has nothing to do with the effect that it'll have in someone else. It has to do that you're walking in the fear of the Lord. And it's up to Him. He will cause all the thoughts and the words. They're already His. You've just been second-guessing them all your life. Because you have been walking as the Antichrist. You have been placing your mind and your judgments ahead of the spontaneity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are His counselor. It's not dumb, it's not smart to be the counselor of God. It's not smart, and that's what you do. Every time that you second guess yourself, you are being the Lord's counselor. He doesn't need any. Do you understand the seriousness of this?
That's why I got sick.
Amen.
That's why I've been sick for a week.
Amen. That sometimes when a physical body is sick, then the part of the body that's infected is the one that gets sick and the one that suffers. But part of the time when a physical body is sick, the infection causes the illness to appear on the surface at another point. Now your holding in of the poison may be the thing that's causing Barbara to have the tumor. Because we are not an organization, we are an organism. Are you understanding me? If that doesn't break your heart, then nothing can. Or when I was dying, someone else's lack of prophecy may have caused the pain that I was experiencing. Now, the world will never understand this kind of stuff, so don't try to explain it to anybody. But stop it. You don't have any more excuse. You don't have any more cloak. You can't hide anymore. It's the same thing when Christ said, had I not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now you have no cloak. And your bullshit righteousness has to go to the moon. Oh, I just can't say that. Oh, it's so sweet. Oh, I couldn't tell her that. Well, if you thought it, where in the hell do you think it came from? You're a hunk of protoplasm. You're a side of beef that God has chosen to put His holy seed into. You're not responsible for any thought, any part of you. And who in the hell are you to have the audacity to be a counselor of God and say, I can't say that, or I can't reveal that, or I can't whatever it is. Instead of just spotting it out, being free, then you will free the body, and the body of Christ will truly begin to. And there's a great cloud of witnesses that are waiting for us to do it. But you think you're your own. So you sit around and second guess yourself. And you just love it. You know why you love it? You sit around planning out whether or not you should say this or that, whether or not you should do this or that, how you should do this or that, when you should do this or that, and you love it because it resurrects your false identity and it crucifies afresh the Son of God. And Satan has won another victory. We are not men pleasers. If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Does everybody understand what I've said tonight?
Makes me think of the being the chief of sinners. When you know, when you've been enlightened and you still withhold, then you can see that you are the chief of sinners.
Amen. See ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you see His righteousness, His rightness, you will never again have to be worried about your own. Then all these needful things shall be made unto you. Then when you take communion, you will discern properly the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And where's don't have the grace of God in vain. Don't be God's counselor anymore. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall wear, for what you shall eat, for where you shall sleep. That's what the Gentile mind does. Take no thought for tomorrow. Begin to live in the spontaneity of life. Look at the birds, look at the grass, look at the flowers. That's your inheritance. And if he can't provide every needful thing in that environment, then you're a fool to say you're a believer. You better find out now, folks.
This is the experience that makes you know that your life is Christ.
Right.
Because your mind always says, you know, well, if I let go of this control, I'm going to say something obscene, or, you know,
I'm going to say fuck on Bible study.
I'm going to, you know, do something weird. And that's the evidence.
That's the wiles of the devil.
But I mean, the actual doing of it is the evidence that your life really is Christ.
Amen.
And you go ahead and say the things.
Amen.
And you see them right out there before you, you know. And
your wild spontaneity.
The phrase that came into my head when you started speaking, and it just came back, is the hidden things of craftiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're so stupid.
Romans 11, nobody's going anywhere, you're just listening tonight. Romans 11, verse 30. For as in times past, for as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy, even so, these also now not believe that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. So that means all things. So you don't have the right to second guess. That's what that's talking about. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now you're by the process of no longer helping, then that life, which is the way, which is Christ in you, is being perfected, is being tested. And he can't fail the test. But Paul is begging. He's saying, I beseech. That's a big time beg. He's begging you, by the mercies of God, to present your total self as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Sacrifice that doesn't have anything of its own. That's what happened to the people in the New Jerusalem, in Jerusalem at Pentecost. That's why the Spirit sat on them, because they presented themselves a living sacrifice without condition. But stop trying to be God's counselor. Now, when you properly discern the Lord's body, and when we as a body discern the Lord's body and his blood, then wings of healing will fly through us. There shall be no feeble among us. There shall be no needs among us. It's impossible. The next time you, in trying to be a nice person, quench the Spirit of God, recognize that you may be killing somebody in the body when you do it. I mean, forget yourself. You're already out if you're quenching it. But God is sick and tired of your efforts to be nice. The Spirit says that's the dog returning to its own vomit. I'm going to read the rest of Romans 12. We'll call it a night. To be not conformed to the world, you've all heard me talk about this before, but the word world there is the Greek word aion, which means everything. It's again, as Santa pointed out once a long time ago, the word can't be translated in English, but in German it's Zeitgeist, which means all of the value systems that are extant in any age, whether moral or immoral, good or bad, political, religious, whatever. You're not to be conformed to any part of the world system, including part of that world system is nice. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed, and the word is transfigured. And as I've told you before, that's your only vocation, to be transfigured. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What does that mean? It means when you stop, if you can only see what you do in this, from the spiritual standpoint, you stop it in an instant. because you have put yourself above God. If you said, God, I'm yours, if you've presented yourself as a living sacrifice, and then you second-guess yourself, then you stop, well, should I say this or shouldn't I say this? Should I plan this out? What you've done from the spiritual standpoint is you've elevated yourself above God, because you have then the form of godliness but deny his power. And you think your power is more has more efficacy than him. And it's sick.
It's like you're saying, no, God, that's not the way you do it.
Right. That's exactly it. But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or service, let us wait on our serving, or teaching, wait on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, what has he just said there? That's the fruit of the process of presenting yourself a living sacrifice. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's what will happen when you present yourself the living sacrifice. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, what is a power? A higher power is something you don't have control over. Doesn't matter what it is. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, what does it mean to resist it? Try to sneak out by your own devices.
Yeah.
Resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers or powers are not a terror to good works. There's only one good work. There's only one work that's going on in your life. There's only one work that's going on in the world. Has nothing to do with your thoughts of what something is or isn't, or good or evil, or good or bad, or anything else. The one singular thing that's going on in your life is you're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And we as a body are being transformed into the image, to the perfect bride without spot or wrinkle. Nothing else. That's the only good thing. Everything else is evil. Doesn't matter how good it appears to some stupid value system that you've grown up with. For powers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. To the evil. There's only one work. There's two works going on. One is the edification of the body of Christ. The other is the destruction of the body of Christ. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of your sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but not in strife and envying. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the desires thereof. That's the process. Does everybody understand? Okay. Does everybody understand? Everybody's going to quit being God's counselor.
Yeah, the only thing that can ever come up against that is unbelief. That's, you know, it's always, anything that comes up is a fear about that God wouldn't do the right thing, yeah, or that he would screw you around somehow.
Yeah, right, and what it is we always think that either we or somebody else can best God. Well, history proves it. No, it doesn't. All of history proves is that there's been massive amounts of unbelief. You think that you are stronger than God. Otherwise, you just be free. Man,
when Pete and I were
sleeping,
we were sleeping in the front room. One of the things that I've always struggled with, and especially lately since I've come back, is, you know, if your mind's the Antichrist, how's every thought from God? You know what I mean? And how do you deal with that? And I realize the Antichrist is that second judgment,
which is the test, which is the opposition. Test.
Exactly. But I didn't. It wasn't until tonight that came about that I understood that.
Amen. Well, folks, take it large, person.